Hello, happy Valentine's Day, and welcome to Law & Order S-Review here on Fanversation. I am Yael Teagle, that's Taylor Gates. Happy Valentine's Day, Taylor Gates.
Happy Valentine's Day. I'm like trying to make that not, there you go. I usually do it at the end of the show if you stick around, but whatever their hearts, I'm going to do it at the beginning too now.
I am honored to be here. I'm grateful that you're my Valentine today.
Not same.
We are talking season 25, episode 4, Duty to Report. Before we jump into this episode, first of all, thanks for joining us on this special day. I know that usually we are on a different day. Thanks for being here. If you were assaulted and need to talk to somebody, please reach out to RAIN. Their number is 1-800-656-4673. 1-800-656-4673. Also, Taylor, I got excited.
Hey, it spells hope, you guys. If you didn't know that already, Yael tried to skip that part, which is interesting on Valentine's Day of all days.
I'm so sorry.
I think this was that damn name we were going for, but that's fine.
I'm so sorry.
Whatever.
You're right. It spells hope. You know that. I forget. You're the best. Moving on. If this is your first time watching the S-Review or listening to the S-Review podcast, welcome. But also consider this your content warning. I'd explained to my parents recently that we do this content warning because sometimes things happen on the show that are serious, like a sexual assault, which is a very serious thing. And we on this podcast say non-serious things about serious things. So consider this your content warning. When things get dark, sometimes we make light. And if this isn't the show for you, we understand. But also, you suck.
But also, get out.
Yeah. We have people live in the chat joining us on this very special Valentine's Day. Doreen and Ristin, Alexa, Deanna, welcome. Happy Valentine's Day. Thanks for being live with us here as we talk season 25, episode 4, Duty to Report. Taylor, I'm going to read the quick cap and then I want you to tell me your general thoughts.
Yep.
Quick cap. When Chief McGrath's daughter discloses a sexual assault, Benson must balance the intricacies of the investigation with McGrath's impulsive actions. Taylor, what did you think of this episode?
I'm quite literally so bored.
Okay.
So boring. I feel like we've seen every aspect of this 8,000 million times, and I didn't care. McGrath was violent. Cool. We had Elliot stay on for 12 years. Like, I really don't. Like, we've seen that. Like, I just feel like there was nothing new, exciting, fresh about this. And I kept pausing. I'm like, how much longer? And it was a lot longer, let me tell you.
Wow.
Yeah.
I disagree. I really liked this episode upon second watching.
Okay.
I'll tell you yes.
And I don't plan to watch it again. So
that's fair. I understand. On second, I think there were a lot of things that I liked. Okay. Here are the things that I liked, because it wasn't like I liked this in the story. What I liked was that Benson started this therapy thing that you were telling us about, and then we got to see it happen. So I liked that.
I liked that too. Yeah.
I loved that the therapist points out, like, this can't be your first time that this happened. And then Benson literally names previous characters from other episodes. We didn't just make stuff up. We literally went back into the archives and went, okay, let's find some names of kids that have disappeared.
I agree. I have to say, these parts I liked. The personal storyline, when the personal storyline is my favorite part, like, you're in a world of trouble, because I don't like it when we get personal. But I actually do like this because it's for our main girl, Olivia. She's actually healing and doing things and looking inwards. And I agree that I like that we reference old people. I was like, I recognize those names. Good job. We're not just pulling shit out of a hat. And
yes.
Well, so I agree with you. I liked those parts.
So the other things that I like is that we finally, after all this time, have decided to deal with McGrath's bullshit, and it sounds like get rid of him. That's what I like so much, is that we were like, you know what? Fine. let's deal with this and throw, like, let's finish it off. People in the chat are talking. I'm loving this. Doreen says, I love this episode. Great performances. That is true. Incredible performances.
Uglavnor was especially good, I thought. She and Olivia had really good chemistry when they were talking.
Yes.
This is really good.
She actually reminded me a lot of Hayden Panettiere in her first appearance when she's the small child. Not just the hair. But then also she reminded me of, oh, another girl who had the same hair but was beaten. It'll come to me as we discuss. I can, like, see it.
Like, I don't know. Like, I thought they had especially good back and forth, because sometimes, especially when you have people who aren't, like, series regulars or aren't on a lot, like, they give good performances, but you don't feel that sort of connection, if that makes sense. But I thought these two, like, I believed the dynamic hardcore. I thought she was great. And I was like, I wonder if she and, like, the actress and, like, Mariska have known each other for a while. I don't know. I just sense something really, like, yeah, they have, like, a real sort of vibe chemistry going on that I was just, like, really impressed with.
Yeah, well, let's jump to actor shout-outs now. Shay was played by Grace Culwell. Amazing job, Grace Culwell. Also, because I hated her so much, McGrath's wife, played by Amy Carlson. Literally hate her so much. Great performance. Max Kaseya for Mickey Dowling. Cameron Mann for Liam Dowling. The math tutor, Krishna Dudnath. The mom Dowling, we have Monica Weichi. I'm so sorry for butchering names here. Really fun. Oh, we got a repeat offender, according to Alexa. Mrs. McGrath, played by Amy Carlson, repeat offender from season 2, episode 7. Nicely done. Thank you. Doreen says, probably a swan song, but Terry Serpico, who plays McGrath, he was great. Riston in the chat says, I had such a problem with the therapist. It's a giant no-no to tell one patient about another patient. Yes, the counselor had to report it, but not to Olivia. So wrong. So totally.
What the hell was that? Insane choice. Oh, you don't do that. Like, here's the thing. Against the like ethics of it, already crazy. This woman just went through EMDR. Like, do you know how exhausted and, like, emotionally messed up she probably is? And now she's, like, asking her to work? Get out of here. Like, at least wait 3 seconds. I don't know. I hated that choice. I thought that was a crazy thing to do.
I agree. I think that it's ridiculous. I understand why it happened. I'll say this. I was too distracted by the idea that the show shouldn't have told us in the promo that it was McGrath's daughter, because then the reveal of opening the door would have been a surprise. Mm. She was like, there's another twist. You know the father. And I was like, oh, this would have been a great cliffhanger had marketing not decided that promo needs to have.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. Moving on. Jasmine in the chat says, the only time I could tolerate McGrath. And Alexa says, Max Vinny from Doogie Howser. Yes, I'm that old. Oh, nice. Everyone's talking about how much they prefer Terry Serpico from other things. I'm going to be honest. Am I not wrong? Is he not the boss or the highest authority from Shiri Apple? Applebaum's episode, the first one.
Shiri Appleby.
The
one where she's in the military.
Yes, her first episode where she's in the military. I believe he is the captain. I don't know the sergeant. I don't know the things.
I don't know.
Well,
he's a good actor, but I mean, sorry if I'm jumping ahead, but
no, go for it.
I just, like, feel like we're rewriting history in this episode too, where Olivia's like, yeah. I mean, he's a good cop, and I respect him, even though I don't always agree with him. You fucking hate this man. Like, stop Stop acting like you don't. Stop acting like we're not supposed to hate this man. Like, he sucks. And I don't understand why we're, like, doing handshakes. He's pulling guns on people. He's beating people up in interrogation. Like, why are we acting like he's... No, this guy sucks and he sucked from the beginning. Why are we, like, sending him off with a nice thing? Let him take a walk of shame. Like, I don't like this. I don't like this writing history. This man has never done any one good thing for me. Why am I supposed to feel bad? I'm supposed to feel sorry for this bitch? I don't. And that's not.
First of all, I was right. He was Lieutenant Commander in Season 15, Episode 8, Military Justice. Whew, thank you. I agree with you that they totally rewrote history. Not just that. I think that this idea that Iaby wasn't there when he pulls the gun, and Benson being like, that would have made things easier, and Finn being like, you're going to report him? First of all, he pulled a gun. And second of all, I literally gasped when he pulled the gun on first viewing because I thought he was going to punch him. I was ready for a punch. He pulled a gun and I gasped out loud like a cartoon character. It was shocking. I was shocked. Or as the kids say, shook.
Shooketh. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I put nothing past him. And I don't know why everyone else seems to love to give him little passes and handshakes and shut up. We also did, again, I'm sorry I'm jumping around, but like, why are we like congratulating these men for doing horrible shit and then doing like the thing they're supposed to do to make up for it? Like Finn's like, it was really brave of you to confess, Liam.
Yes. What he says.
What is wrong with you? I hate this shit. Why are we doing that? It's brave of you. No, it literally is not. There's nothing brave about this man. He's garbage.
When he said it, I appreciated that the next line of dialogue was not about what you did, but about coming forward.
Because, I would appreciate if it wasn't in there.
Yeah, but how do you say the way he said it? He was like, it's real brave of you. I'm sorry, what? Oh, to plead guilty and not make us go to trial. Okay. Whew. Because it sounded like you were congratulating him on assaulting a girl.
I just don't even think that pleading guilty is brave. I didn't really see that much. Like
it was. Like, I think that the argument should have been, or the line should have been, something along the lines of, at least you're stepping up so the girl doesn't have to testify, right? Yeah. So that we don't continue to traumatize her.
Thank you for doing the good thing for once. But I'm just, like, not sensing that much guilt from him either. Like, if he was genuinely sorry trying to change, but, like, is he?
No.
No. So, no. That's not the guy you say that to. No.
We've talked about before how, as a show that is very much pro cops, that IAB is always seen as our enemy. So I do kind of enjoy that we've looked at, we're trying to maybe revamp that message, especially with Captain Curry. So it kind of almost is like the show is going, hey, there's sometimes good people in this department. It's like the opposite of what they're doing with like SVU is like, we're always the good people.
Yeah.
They're like, at least there's one.
Yeah, no, I like Curry a lot. I think the characterization for Finn and Bruno is getting weird, frankly. Like, the fact that they are, like, well, do we know that she's not just regretting the fact that...
Yeah, my note says...
Therapist that. It's weird. They're always doing this now, and I don't really get that, because I don't feel like that's super authentic. At least to Finn, who's been here for, like, almost as long as Olivia.
Yeah, so literally, I think he says, I don't want a victim blame, and then he does. So... Bruno, what are you doing in SVU? Also, remember when Bruno was the only one in his department that was like looking for something, right? He was the only one following some case because no one believed him. So what the hell? I do understand. I do understand Finn and Bruno being like, we shouldn't take this case. I totally get that. And I think that that would have been the better conflict between them and Olivia, rather than every episode for the last now four episodes has had Olivia's team, who are her subordinates. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Okay. Have been.
I knew that we were thinking of the other same word that sounds alike, but it's something different.
Anyway.
Happy Valentine's Day.
But she is their boss, and they continue to question her. We've had four episodes of these people literally saying to her, like, I think you're overreacting. You're focusing on something else. This isn't about that. Why? Doreen in the chat says, the squad doubting Benson is really killing me right now.
Well, it's not even, apart from them not trusting Olivia, the logic of not believing this specific case makes no sense because she didn't even report it to the police. She talked to her therapist about it. And the point of therapy, I'm not saying people don't lie in therapy, but that's an insane lie to make up to be like, oh yeah, then the therapist is going to tell the cops and I'm going to look like that is no, especially a teenage girl like this. That is not her logic. That doesn't make any sense to think that way. Like if it was a different reason, but that reason is debunked in 2 seconds. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. I am with you, especially because twice two different characters felt the need to point out that children's brains aren't developed. Like two times that two different people at different times pointed out that these kids are not fully developed and therefore there's no way she would have made this plan of attack, right? Like, and she was upset that the therapist shared this information.
Yeah. So it's like, what? Explain why you think that she's lying then, because there's nothing in this that makes me feel like she is.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. My notes have so many people suck. So it says, mom sucks. That's my note about McGrath's wife. And then later, the Dowlings, what are they? Dowling family? I'm like, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
Everybody sucks.
I did love that Olivia just completely ended Mrs. McGrath, though. She was like, yeah, then you can call up IAB now. She's like, actually, listen here, bitch. Like, I loved that scene. She ate her up.
Totally. There was a part where, what does my note say? It says they're like cousins. The part where we finally find out who the perp was, and this whole idea, I'm like real frustrated because they throw it at the end that this kid was being from an abusive home. All of a sudden, they were like, oh, by the way, also there's domestic violence in this house.
Yeah.
Why was that not? Well, first of all, are we trying to excuse his behavior? Is that what we're trying to do? Because that's bullshit. And second of all, why was this not brought up earlier if it's important to this episode?
It was so weird and unnecessary. I was like, why did we need that ending? I don't know. I get like to complicate matters, but like this was the most essentially cut and dry case ever. We've seen this so many times and it didn't really have any new elements except for the fact it's McGrath, but we've worked with people who are on our team or that we know 8 trillion times, so it didn't really elevate it for me.
I totally agree with you. I think that I don't think that the elevation was supposed to be within the story. It was supposed to be within McGrath and IAB. And I found that interesting because we've talked about how McGrath is such a piece of crap this whole time.
Yeah.
So the idea that we've given him a send-off of like, you know, hopefully you'll figure this out and come back is some bullshit. I really wanted, I guess they couldn't. I wanted a McGrath, like the domestic call to have been McGrath's house, that he lost his shit and like he got taken away. That would have been more interesting and made more sense. But it felt like we just wanted to be like, but here's the excuse of why this kid behaved this way. Why he thought that was okay, because he has bad role models. What?
Yeah.
And then also, kid. Sorry, what?
Oh, that's not the '80s anymore, kid. Shut up. Like, that was not acceptable in the '80s either, bitch. It was not.
Yeah.
Socially, maybe. Morally, legally, no.
Rist in the chat says the abuse in the family is such a weird thing to tack on at the end. Absolutely. Absolutely. Danny in the chat says Mariska on Instagram said that this was her favorite episode. I don't get why. Maybe she hated McGrath too.
Really? So true, Danny.
Honestly, I hope so.
Yeah.
That would be so funny.
Bye.
All right, let's talk about this last scene with Curry. Essentially, she's like, I don't want the role, right? Like, she literally is like, I don't want this job. And then they're like, but what if you take it? And she's like, but what if I take it?
Not to make everything gay.
But I totally ship them.
But hello!
That scene was definitely the beginning of a ship.
Ooh, should I say something controversial yet brave?
Yes.
More chemistry than I've ever seen with Creasy and Rollins. Sorry. Different dynamic, I guess. They're the more wholesome, you know, picket fence. But this is what I want to see. This is what I'm interested in. If they have ego, I'll take this one. Or a purple. Like, I'm not mad.
All right. Well, I do 100% definitely support thruples. Amy Donna Kelly is the actress who played our IAB captain, Renee Curry. It seems like she will be joining our team at least temporarily. I'm so here for it. Daryl in the chat says, I thought she was hitting on Liv. Same.
Yes. Period.
That was very clear. Look, I know that.
Closet is glass, babe. The closet is glass.
Look, I do know that Taylor and I do see things a lot gayer than most people. But that was clearly a ship being born.
To right? me, at least. To me, at least.
I saw it. My notes are like, I ship this so hard.
Bad chemistry. Whether you want me to see that or not.
Riston says, I didn't see it, but I'm here for it, which is funny because Alexa says, reminds me of Benson first meeting with Tucker.
Sounds so early for me.
They like, did, no, but they, look, they did get a drink. And thus a relationship blossomed.
Venn diagram.
Alexa saw it.
Exactly, Alexa, I get it.
Deanna, I think, is not a fan of the thruple because, or at least says that the thruple won't happen because Stabler is Catholic.
Yeah, no, you're right. But like, that's what fan fiction is for, and a girl can dream. You know what I mean?
So funny. It's Valentine's Day, and I love that our chat is like, let's go gay.
Yeah.
It makes sense on this show. We're a pretty gay show. Doreen says, Stabler.
And that's your opinion.
With a vomity face.
Listen, let's be very clear. I'm not pro Stabler. I'm pro Olivia and Stabler together because they have so much history. I just think that it's whatever. I've said all of it before. You know my reasons. You know who I am. Take me or leave me. You can't handle me and my EO. You don't deserve me at my Curry and Olivia, okay?
This Curry Olivia thing is gonna haunt me. I want it so bad now. Look, do I want it as much as Barba and Carisi? Maybe.
That man's also married and Catholic.
Which one?
Carisi.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't think we're going to get our wishes.
I still think Barisi could happen, and I think Rollins would support it. That's a thruple that I think could totally happen, actually.
Yeah, but isn't Carisi super Catholic, is what I'm saying?
Yeah, who cares?
Well, the Catholic Church, for one, but...
Not in this house. All right. Let's Let's take it to best lines.
Yep.
I have just one.
Okay, I have a couple, so.
Yeah. Actually, I have two. So the one that I think, this one's like a non-funny but a serious one, is, where is it? It's, if you agreed to it and then changed your mind, that's okay. It's one of, I think, the most important lines that the show said, and I think that it needs to be highlighted because it's something that we, not we as SVU viewers, but the world forgets, is that you have a right to withdraw consent at any time. And so to hear Shay talk about how she wanted to make out and was down with making out and not going further, she has full right to do that. And even if they started, she had full right to say, I don't want to do this. And then my other one is something that we have pointed out on this show for over four episodes. And it's, I did happen to notice the plethora of Y chromosomes in your particular squad room. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I also wrote that because I was like, wow, spitting straight up facts. I only have four other ones, but... you selling Mormon Bibles or something? I'm pretty sure they don't sell them. I'm pretty sure they just give them to you, but we like the spirit. She put stickers over all the cameras, smarter than a lot of the perps we know. I was like, true, actually. Sounds good thinking. How often do you see her? 3 times a week? That's a lot. She's pretty bad at algebra.
Yes.
Get her. And then finally... you're a tutor, you do the math. I thought it was fun.
Nice. I also want to point out, there was one, I thought you might have it, but it's where he says, my dad said the first time he kissed my mom, she slapped him. And that reminds me just, that's like such a common story you hear from previous generations. About like persistence. And I think that it's becoming one of my like least favorite things when I'm watching like a rom-com, when the guy asks the girl out and she says no, and then he continues to ask her out. I like can no longer find the cute, because it, to me, tells me that this, especially when it's a man or woman, the man no longer respects the woman and her opinions or feelings whatsoever. So like hearing that line, I was like, ooh, I really appreciated that both Finn and Carisi were like, no, man, that's not a positive.
Yeah. Yeah. I did not like that.
It reminded me a lot of the episode where Stabler talks to his wife about like how they were both drunk when they first got together. And so it reminded me a lot of that, of like the previous generations really did not see consent. Daryl in the chat says the amount of time you hear he wore her down. Absolutely. It's like one of the bigger problems with shows, like literal sitcoms, you know, if you look at the Big Bang Theory, you just got to keep bothering her until she says yes, which is not how this should go.
Yeah, agreed.
Anyway. All right. Ooh. All right, I'm ready. It's time for shower thoughts.
Oh, Valentine's edition. Make it extra spicy.
Oh, that was not what I was going to do, but I guess I'll hold on to that other thing for later. All right.
Well, you can combine them.
Nah. No, because it's real non-sexy. Oh. But since it is Valentine's Day, Taylor, happy Valentine's Day.
Gosh, happy Valentine's Day.
For our friends in the showers who are listening while they're getting clean. Taylor, why don't you tell me, what is your like dream Valentine's Day?
Oh, wow. I feel like I'm such a homebody. Like, I literally just love to stay home, like, and watch a movie and, like, order a pizza with someone and just hang, you know? I don't want to wear a dress. I don't really want to, like, get fancy. and do anything crazy like that. Like, honestly, my favorite Valentine's days were when I was in college and my friends and I, like, we didn't have dates, so we would just get together and we'd watch the 50 Shades movie to laugh at it. And also very problematic, let's go ahead and put that. But they're also hilarious because people get into, like, helicopter accidents and then they walk out fine and it's hysterical. So we would, like, watch 50 Shades and order one of the heart-shaped pizzas from, like, Papa John's or whatever. And we would just have a good time, drink some wine. So a very casual Valentine's Day. Yeah, what about you? Are you casual or are you, like, let's go for it?
First of all, I love your Valentine's Day. That sounds perfect. And I, too, have had... My friend and I went to see 50 Shades on Valentine's Day once.
Like, it's just a tradition. Like, it's just a classic.
To see garbage on Valentine's Day feels fitting.
Exactly.
My dream Valentine's Day. Ooh. Honestly, I think it's order Indian food because that's my thing. Spicy. Stay in and watch either Doctor Who. Just like binge Doctor Who, or one of the only other shows that I binge and just put on all the time. It feels wrong to watch SVU on Valentine's Day.
But it also feels so right. Like, AMC and 24 are doing, like, this Valentine's Day, like, every Wednesday, they'll have, like, an insane choice for, like, a romantic movie. Like, I saw Pearl last week there, which is, like, a horror movie. I'm seeing The Lobster next week, one of Rachel Weisz and Yorgos Lanthimos' best. But, like, those are very not, like, straightforward rom-coms. Like, they're fucked up. And so I love that. Like, Valentine's Day, it's not just traditional flowers. It's whatever you want to make it. Mm. Whatever you want to celebrate it. And if that's with SVU, that's with The Lobster, you should go for it and do it.
I'll also say this. I posted back when I was on Twitter that I don't, because I don't eat chocolate and I don't really like flowers. I want a bouquet of marshmallows.
Mm.
That is what I want for Valentine's Day. If they're all on sticks to make a bouquet,
yeah,
then you can...
I don't like a marshmallow unless it's, like, it's toasted or burnt.
You know? I love a raw marshmallow, apparently.
Not you, raw dog.
You know, sometimes you just want a raw dog. A marshmallow.
Anyway, next segment.
You wanted the shower thoughts to be spicy.
Sexy for you guys.
All right. Okay, so then that takes us to what did we learn. I have facts for you all.
Okay.
So because they decided at the end of this episode to throw in this idea of domestic violence that didn't tie into the rest of the episode, I will point out, and this is facts that you can look up and get more information, but according to reports... at least 40% of police officer families experience domestic violence. So the idea that this episode wanted to show you how this happens, but chose not to do it within the police family. Like, instead of showing you that there is a very good chance that there is abuse happening within McGrath's home, especially because that has been hinted at in the past, they were like, you know what? We want you to save face here. So it's going to be the neighbors who are like family to us, but are not, because you have, anyway, not the point. Point is, there are huge, huge numbers of domestic violence issues within police families. And I think that that is something that it would be interesting for the show to tackle, but 40% was the number that I found. And that is what I learned. Hit me.
I just learned that I ship Benson and Curry, I guess.
That's fair.
What's the ship name? Burry or Clemson? Burry. Sure.
Burry.
Burry. Hashtag Burry.
All right. I love that. I was just remembering in my notes I had talked about the Liam's dad. So when they were in the interrogation And they were like, we don't need a lawyer. We don't need a lawyer. And the dad was like, be honest. Tell them the truth. That girl's a mess. Like, you should talk. And then as soon as the son was like, all right, I'm going to tell the truth, he was like, shut your mouth.
Yeah, for real. I also want to make a point because I saw someone call, I think it was Daryl. And I think it's worth talking about. Mm. Like, I agree that shifting the blame to the person of color in the situation is like, yikes. And we kind of maybe should have addressed that a little bit.
Like, I found it.
Yeah.
It's kind of insane that they throw the brown boy under the bus, though. Totally.
I agree. But yeah. I also agree with the fact that, like, show him your camera. Show him the helmet. Bro, what are you doing? I was innocent. So, dude, come on. But the fact that we didn't really talk about the, like, implications of that was a little, like, are you going to do it or not? I think that we talk about that every week of, like, them kind of half-assing this. We're going to talk about police brutality and racism in it and all of this stuff. And, like, you pick and choose when to do it, which is, like, frustrating. Either you're going to do it or you're going to ignore it. And the half and half is, like, a little bit obnoxious. So
I agree with you,
Daryl.
Totally a good point. I think also you're right that they just were like, we're just going to not discuss that. And that, again, like with the domestic violence thing at the end, they were like, we're going to just throw that in real quick. They really keep doing that, being like, you know, there's this thing. Also, there's this thing. Also, the idea that McGrath's wife thought that Benson was going after his job, like she wants the promotion.
Yeah.
And I was like, your daughter was assaulted. This is what you want to talk about now?
Yeah.
There's just all these little bits that felt like could have been something and didn't go anywhere.
Agree.
All right. Here are some things we need to discuss. The season takes a teeny tiny hiatus now, and there's no episode this week. So they'll be back, I believe, next week on the 22nd. And based on the promos, it looks like we're wrapping up the Maddie storyline finally. Only took 5 episodes.
Yeah.
Do you think the team might apologize to Benson for second guessing her all the time and gaslighting her?
I guess we'll see.
Yeah. I saw people in the chat discussing specifically what the Curry situation is, like what she's doing with the team. It looks like she's going to take the acting chief position. So she's going to theoretically be in McGrath's role, right? That's what I took from it. They said it's
acting chief. I thought she was just joining SVU with no one in that position. Maybe I don't know actually for sure.
Because the conversation was about
convoluted.
It got convoluted because she literally said that she doesn't want to take over for IAB and for McGrath, and that she hates being at IAB because everyone hates her. And she would love to be at SVU, but it would be a lateral move and they already have a captain. So it sounded like she's going to be acting chief. So until they find someone else for McGrath's role, and that they're going to could get a lot done, maybe even break some rules, air quotes on that. And SVU already has a captain. People in the chat are talking about a co-captaining, which I think is I think as a storyline would be stupid. me saying a mistake is not you guys. That is possible. I think that's a mistake to do.
Yeah, I think I'm reading it like Daryl did, which is that, yeah, she's joining the squad. And since there's not going to be a lot of oversight in this sort of interim, they're going to be able to get more done since there's not going to be as much, like, blue tape or whatever.
Oh.
That's how I read it. I could be wrong, but that's what I got from it listening to the conversation.
So because there isn't going to be a chief, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, or there's going to be someone sort of just like babysitting the role until they find someone legit. And it's like when you have a substitute teacher, like you can kind of just like run free a little bit. So that's how I'm reading it.
I see. That makes sense. I interpret it as that she would be the substitute teacher and therefore could let them do whatever they want. But
yeah.
But what you're saying also makes sense.
Guess we'll find out.
Hopefully next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ristid says just joining as a detective would be a demotion though, wouldn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Although I don't know if you like joining the team without a different title. I don't know, man. I don't know.
How it works.
We'll find out. Okay. I had said that today would be the day that I tell people about my book Instagram account that I'm launching.
Yes.
So I'm going to do that. But first, Taylor, where are you on the internet and what are you up to these days?
I am on the internet on Twitter still. Holding on. At @alphabet_Anne. I'm also on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_. I write things for both Collider and Fanversation. So if you want to read some of my interviews, reviews, and the like, you can just search my name and then Collider and Fanversation and my profile will pop up and you can read stuff that I write. So do that.
Awesome. Yep. I am on Instagram at Yael Teagle. That's YAELTYGIEL. And I now have a Bookstagram account that will soon have content, but does exist currently. And it is Good Little Library Mouse, because apparently Library Mouse is bookworm in French. So isn't it cute? Because I like cute animals. Good Little Library Mouse. So find that on Instagram. If you care for my thoughts on only spicy romance novels.
Porn.
Smut.
Okay.
But yes, porn. So check that out. Until the next episode, we'll see you next time, everybody. Mwah. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.